Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready to ride?
To Injustice, the show that shares stories of injustice and allows listeners to ask questions and seek advice. Each week, we feature guests who are making a difference in the Black community and or changing the criminal justice system. My name is Melinda Robertson, and I am your host and member of the WPGR All-Female Radio Network. I am the founder of Black Mothers for Justice, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit organization created to be a support system for mothers whose children are wrongfully or rightfully incarcerated. It's a safe space where they can speak their truth without being judged. Limited copies of my latest book, A Black Mother's Guide, How to Survive the Criminal Justice System, are now available. This book was written out of necessity because statistics show that one in every three Black boys will go to prison in their lifetime. It includes stories of injustice from five mothers and also provides information about arraignments, bail, Miranda rights, public defenders, etc. The purpose is to educate mothers and enlighten them about the judicial process. Tonight's guest, Raymond Bell, is the founder and CEO of the HOPE Project, an IT program that has been deemed as the Harvard of the Hood. He is a D.C. native who has been single-handedly providing men and women of the District of Columbia with careers in the forever-growing field of technology. Raymond and the HOPE Project have been featured on ABC, CNN, BET, TV1, and numerous other media outlets. Please help me welcome Mr. Raymond Bell back to the show. Hey, Ray, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me. I'm excited about being here.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. So listen, let's just get right into it. This interview is one that I have been waiting for. It's one that is so necessary, and I want to just jump right into it. So let's go.
Ooh.
What inspired you to start the HOPE Project, and were you yourself an IT technician?
Guests are going to be shocked when I share this. Well, I started a HOPE Project in 2009. It was really for a simple reason. I wanted to transform the lives of young people through careers. And since 2009, I've been training, coaching, and mentoring primarily young men and women that now work on almost every major government contract in the Washington metropolitan area. As a matter of fact, I need to start saying internationally, because we have graduates that are now in as far away as Afghanistan. And I do not... Although I may flag, I do not have IT background.
Wow, that is amazing. So you don't have any IT. Let me get this right. You don't have any IT experience, but you have been able to create this program that has built careers for approximately how many? How many would you say students?
Well, we're approaching 2,000 graduates. and about almost 2,000 graduates, and the average annual salary of our graduates is about $62,500. We got a lot of graduates, almost 40 at this point that make six figures base. And if you count overtime, there's over 60 graduates that make six figures. And 95%
wow.
of them do not have college degrees.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Wow. Oh my God, that is just amazing. You have basically you have changed the lives of so many people, and a lot of them like the name Harvard from the Hood, a lot of them came from the hood, basically.
Majority of our graduates are Ward 7 and Ward 8 residents, although we have graduates from all over the city. Even in surrounding counties like Prince George County and Anne Arundel County now and Montgomery County, but I would say at least half of the graduates are east of the river, Wards 7 and 8, BC public school educated. I think people should know about what we've built is my goal wasn't necessarily to help people just get a job in IT, employ for me to get connected with young people. What I'm really doing is building leaders. They just happen to work in IT. Half of my graduates, especially the ones that graduated 5 years or more, they have no interest in long-term working in IT, at least for someone. They're either going to go off and do something else, build their own businesses, and if they do stay in IT, it'll be something they own, whether it's like a staffing agency or IT consulting. But that's leadership, when you are developing something that will allow other people to be impacted and benefit from. So that's what really excites me about what we've built.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
People, we're changing families.
Yes, yes. So once the seed was planted that you wanted to create the Hope Project, how long did it actually take you to make your dream a reality? Like, how long did it take you before you actually, like, quit your job to pursue this?
So this is important for people to know. If you guys haven't been following me on social media and stuff, please do. It's been an unbelievable journey. And folks like yourself who have been around from the beginning, you saw the evolution. You saw the growth. You saw how we built this empire. Before we held our first class, I did over a year's worth of research. And I think that's important in anything that people are doing nowadays. Do your homework first. Put the time, effort, and talk to people. Do your research, interview, observe. That has helped. That helped us a lot to get off to a really good start, because we almost out of the gate had success immediately because I put so much time into developing what we were doing prior to us starting.
Wow. Okay. So for you, let me understand. Okay. So for you not to actually have the IT background, right? So when you were studying it that whole year to get an understanding, what was that consist? What did that consist of? Just getting a better understanding of what it was going to take to pull this off, or since you yourself were like in the training?
Yeah. So when people when we announced we were about to offer a class, we'll probably get 150. We had as many as 375 people attend one recruitment. They're not coming to get a credential. They're coming to have their lives transformed and changed. They're coming for the employment opportunity. So that's why I put my focus, my time, and my attention on understanding what it would take for me to take some young inner-city kid from D.C. public school educated, probably one single-parent household, probably a female, and turn them into an entry-level IT professional that can go and work at the Pentagon. Just having a credential is not going to allow a kid to get a job at CACI and a secret clearance. It takes a whole lot more than just that. So those are the things that I focused on when I started. And those are the things I still focus on to this day. The credentials and stuff, that stuff just kind of takes care of itself. But again, I'm really building people up. Communication skills, professionalism. What I like to talk a lot about when I have conversations like this to people, because they see the success we have, and people are really blown away by what we've been able to create and build. But the thing that I would want people to take away from understanding the empire we've built is there was a lot of sacrifice. When you meet people, they've done like things of significance. A lot of times we just see the end result. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind that curtain that people don't see, And it's a lot of times it's just flat out sacrifice. I cannot tell you the level of patience you have to have to build something like you built. And you just can't care. You got to care a lot. What we've done, you cannot buy. I remember going to the U.S. Conference of Mayors and talking to people that represented cities all over the country. And I remember sharing with them how what I was going to talk to them about, they couldn't run home and get $3, $4, $5 million from their mayor and expect to buy a whole project, just throw money at it. You have to build something like this because it takes time. You have to build relationships with employers, with government contractors. There's so many layers to this. You just can't buy this. You have to build, and that's one reason why you never really see anything like this, because it has to be built, and it takes time.
Right, and it takes commitment.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It takes commitment, and for you to be willing to make that sacrifice, it also shows the level of commitment that you have to making it a reality to change the lives of these young people. But I commend you for your commitment and staying with it, because a lot of times a person may have an idea but get discouraged along the way because, you know, during the building process. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And people get discouraged and they leave it alone, but it just basically shows that they obviously weren't as committed as they needed to be if they were willing to walk away from it.
Mm-hmm. You had asked me somebody I didn't answer. You had asked me somebody I didn't answer. You asked me about my job and when did I decide to leave. I didn't I didn't decide to leave. I was fired. I didn't leave on my own. Yes, I was working for a company over in National Harbor, an IT company, I ran a train department, and my boss called me in, and when he called me in his office, I saw the HR director in the room. I knew it wasn't going to be a good meeting because I didn't know he wasn't supposed to be a part of the meeting. I figured that probably was going to be my last day, and it was. And I remember my boss, who's still my friend this day on Facebook. When I was walking out the door, he said, Raymond, I turned around, he reached out to shake my hand and said, go over there and help those kids because you know that's what you really want to do anyway. And that's when I became Hope Project, the business, not just Hope Project, job training program to help a few kids. I turned it into a business because I knew in order for me to build it the way I wanted to build it, I had to be able to make a living myself as well, because it's a 24-hour-a-day, 365-day-a-year. Melinda, the weekend means absolutely nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it another day of the week?
I got
forced out, but it's all good. As a matter of fact, my old boss, he's my friend on social media, and every now and then, when something great happens for the program, he'll hit me up and say, "Man, you owe me because if I wouldn't have let you pack it, you probably still be here."
So during that time, Raymond, were you like dealing with Hope on the side and they knew about it?
We got some early media attention. The Washington Post ran an article on us, they program, and at the first graduation, they ran an article on us. And I mentioned the name of the company that I was working for. And all people on your call that are techie, they know that Google has these alerts that you can set up on your name or on any topic, and they'll just automatically send you an email when that shows up in any kind of content. Well, the company name was in the Washington Post article, so of course they got their own name as a alert, and they saw the article. So that's when they're like, "Man, that's why Raymond always late. That's why Raymond always needs to leave." From the others. So I kind of created my own issue. Yeah, I sure did.
Yeah, that's when they started looking at you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this explains a lot.
They put two and two together. Yeah, they put two and two together. They're like, "Oh, that's why you're always taking off on Monday." I was just getting out on Monday. So the guy that was helping other people get a job and lost his. I had never been fired before in my life. That's a very weird feeling.
That's a true story, a testament of when one door closes, another one opens.
That's right.
That pushed you right into your purpose. How about that?
That's exactly what happens. Sometimes God knows that it takes other things to happen in order for us to act. Because I'm not sure how long I would have stayed. Because if I would have stayed too long, some of the things that have happened for us to help us grow the way we have, they may not have happened because I would have missed the opportunity because I was still, you know, doing it on the side, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sometimes your blessing comes in all types of forms.
Yes, that's what a story. What a story. So, how has the pandemic affected the Hope Project classes and certifications, or has it in any way?
Believe it or not, we've been busier than ever. One good thing about, like, IT, for example, I won't say we're pandemic or recession-proof, but we're as close as you can get because everybody's working from home now. All the big government contractors, the government employees, the big nonprofit, they all work from home. And most of them, they only know enough about computers to do their own little personal work. So they having all kinds of issues with their technology, so they call the IT department, and that's where my people work. Not a single Hope Project graduate lost their job. We got almost 2,000 graduates. Nobody got laid off. If anything, I've gotten calls in the last couple months from recruiters and contract partners looking for me to help them, you know, provide resumes to fill positions that they have. It's been the opposite for us. That has been for like hospitality industry and retail. It's been like total opposite of what they've been experiencing. Yeah.
Oh, that is such a blessing. That is such a blessing.
It is a blessing. It is truly a blessing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, right, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying it's truly a blessing. It is, yeah.
Yes. What are the requirements for to join the Hope Project?
But for a long time, when I would get to that question, it was always you got to be a D.C. resident because for a long time, they were our sole source of funding for the classes. D.C. probably does a better job than any of the other local municipalities when it comes to creating, trying to help people get into the middle class. But in the last year or so, we've started to find other partners. Like we've partnered with the Anne Arundel County. We're working now to get some going in Prince George's County. And then we even have a few leads on doing stuff statewide in Maryland, regardless of county. In order to be in a class, depending on who's funding it, that determines who can participate. So if it's funded by D.C., you got to be a D.C. resident. We do a lot of work with them to this day, and we have a program just for 18 to 24-year-olds. That's it. 18 and 24-year-olds, and that's the population I probably talk about more than any other because those are the kids, that's the population that's causing all the destruction in our communities. So I talk more about them than any other group, but we service and we offer training to people of any age. I just spend more time talking about the young people for the reason I just stated. So anybody from anywhere, if only 18, you got a high school diploma, GED, there's an opportunity for you to be in Hope Project. I like to try to find ways to get our classes funded so that the participants don't have to cover the cost themselves. But there's times when we can't find a funder and we want to help more people. So we will run a class and then it will be at cost. It wouldn't be a lot. It's like $1,500 for the whole class. And that includes the vouchers and the books. And our average student when they first job was $45,000 to $50,000 a year. I think that's a pretty good investment for 3 months.
I agree.
Yeah.
Is it a payment plan for people that can't really afford it when it's not funded?
Absolutely, because we understand the condition. The people that we have, let me back up. When I first started Hope Project, the goal was very simple. I want to take young inner city kids and put them in a position to be middle and upper middle class residents of the city, be able to afford to stay and live here. And I don't plan on changing from that. But we'll accept anyone. I mean, we've had people with master's degrees that are participating in Hope, undergraduate degrees. But the model, the profile of the student for Hope is someone who graduated from Anacostia or Beloit, grew up in Woodland, Park, Chester, Bury Farm, Butler God, where I'm from, couldn't afford a college or wasn't smart enough to go to college or didn't have the time to invest 4 years because they needed to get to work. The program was designed for people like that.
Wow, and what a concept. What a concept. And the fact that you guys have had over, what you say, over 6,000 students over the
years? We had 2,000. And let me say this, because people probably ask, most people assume there will be more. We have the capacity, and this may turn a little political, but I think it's relevant. We have the capacity right now. I've had the capacity for years. Because I got four instructors. Three of them have been with me for almost 10 years now. One's been with me for four. We have the capacity right now with the staff that we have to train 750 people a year. We train 100 in a good year, or 150 150 in a really good year, maybe 100, 75 to 100 each year, because we get very little help from, not only say help, there's not a lot of funding for a program like ours. You know, I haven't been able to figure that out. Why? Because people ask me all the time, why are you only taking 60 young adults? All these kids graduate from high school, can't afford to go to college. Why we can't get more of them in your program? Or why can't you help more of the young men who just came home from a prison sentence, or someone who went to college and dropped out after a year because they couldn't keep up academically? There's too many kids like that. Why are you only getting 60 slots? The answer is you got to talk to the city, because I got the team to train 750 people a year. Yeah. That's not a twice at the city. They have their own reason. I'm sure they could probably tell you why, but it sure isn't because I don't have the capacity to train more. Because we're ready. We're just waiting on the call. We feel at some point it'll come.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing about it is, I guess the city probably has certain amount of money allocated for the different programs or something. But this is definitely something that needs to be, because it changed the narrative for the lives of the people that may be the ones that's, you know, doing the violence and stuff like that. You know, so I just wish that. Right, exactly. I just wish they would, hear us and consider putting far more money into the HOPE Project, because I believe that all 750 of those slots need to be filled every year, and then we can probably see a difference in wards 6, 7, and 8. You know what I mean? The ones that that are just having all the violence and stuff like that.
Say this, Melinda. Part of it is some of the responsibility lies on me, because I try not to be political at all. I try to just put my head down and do the work, and I've been keeping my fingers crossed for the last 10, going 11 years, hoping that I'm going to get that phone call from some leader and say, man, you guys have helped way too many people with very little help from us. We're ready to start helping. I'm still that naive to believe that call is going to come one day. But I have talked to my team and a lot of my graduates, some of my older graduates, not older in terms of age, was older in terms of they graduated, many years ago, and talking about us considering really becoming more active politically to share our story. Because we've been inspired. HOPE Project students and graduates and team members, we're getting inspired by all the protests. We've seen it. We see it working. We see what happened when Ron Moten, Tony Lewis, and other folks got involved and they came out with the Don't Mute DC. We've seen how all the politicians want to be a part of that. And we're seriously thinking about doing something very similar when it comes to workforce and jobs, because we got the track record for it. But I have to do it myself, because I'm the face of it. I'm the leader of our movement. But I've been dedicating my time to helping every young person who walks through our doors, which doesn't leave a lot of time for stuff I just described.
I think that the HOPE Project would be great in being referred to by, like, let's say, unemployment. You know what I'm saying? Because there are just so many people that are really out here that are really having a hard time. I mean, the struggle is real out here in these streets. And I would like to, maybe you can kind of like connect with the director of unemployment or, you know what I'm saying, something like that, Dr. Hughes, and maybe just mm-hmm. have a conversation with them about what's available, because you hear so much about, you know, the thousands of people that are seeking unemployment. Well, we're seeking unemployment because we need it, you know?
Yeah.
But this would be a great alternative for those that could take, you know, if they, you know, invest in the Hope Project, then a lot of people, you know, these 700 people can come off of unemployment.
Yeah. When I can do, you can do 750 people without even adding any more staff. But if they told us we need you to train 1,500, 2,000 people a year, we could get, as long as the resources are there, we could get more people to help. It's just that with the
right.
folks we have now, we can handle 750. And Dr. Hughes specifically has been a huge advocate and supporter of the program. She really, really has. I must admit that. Dr. Hughes has, Councilmember Lisa Silverman, huge advocates for our work. She tries every budget cycle to find ways to put more money into job training, specifically for IT, because she knows the outcome. She knows the level of independence. And just speaking to her, I want to share this with you and the group because I think it's important. Councilmember Silverman runs she's the chair of the Committee for Workforce. So that's the committee I care most about because that's the one that funds my training. Well, when she started off one of her committee hearings, and I was down there to testify, she said, well, we got to get this workforce and job thing right because unfortunately, in Washington, D.C., the average white household income is 5 to 6 times more than the average black household income. And that's true. It's sad, but it's true. Mm-hmm. So I just happened to be the first person to speak. And I had a whole series of topics that I wanted to focus on. I just put them to the side, and I used what she said. And I start off by telling her that Councilmember Silverman, you were right. The disparity between black and white, the difference in household income is really high. But if you simply took the people that graduated from Hope Project, their household salary is at least as much as the average white household salary. And it may actually be higher. When it comes to discretionary income, I know it's higher because my students don't have student loan debt. But I'm the only person say that. I'm the only person that offers any kind of job training that could say that publicly that my students make just as much, or their average household income is just as much as white people. No one else can say that, and that's embarrassing. I shouldn't be the only one that can say that, because there's a whole bunch of people who do job training in the city.
Right. I was hoping that it would have given them some incentive, because at the end of the day, that they have taken so many programs away from the young people. I mean, so many boys and girls clubs have been closed down for years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I believe that a lot of this violence comes from a lot of these video games that they are playing. And they can't, they can't separate the game from reality. I don't know. But
I can tell you this, though, Melinda. The same kids that be on Instagram with the pistols and the guns, the same ones that be shooting in the neighborhood and killing kids, a lot of the people that graduate from Hope Project were headed down that path or may used to be that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I think people assume that the kids that I've helped, that I cherry-picked them, they were the best and the brightest. No. I got a whole bunch of students that got multiple felony convictions. Most of my students graduated from Anacostia and Blue, so we already know that they are not necessarily academic. So it's not like my kids come from Morehouse. These are neighborhood kids who simply believe in a process and follow the blueprint. And we are a classic case, Hope Project is, we're a classic case of what happens when poor black people stick together. Because that's what we've done. Between me, my instructors, my administrative staff, the support team, and the students in grad, we just all stuck together. That's why everybody's doing so well. There's no Hope Project graduate who's done everything we've asked them to do that's not working.
Right.
Such male and female. Male, young, old, disability, you name it. We've seen everything. Domestic violence victim, you name it. We've had somebody that, so when they be saying, well, Bill, you got a different kind of student, a different kind of kid. No, I don't. It's the same student. We just poured enough into them to make them not want to go rob and kill people. Because you ain't never heard no Hope Project graduate getting arrested for violent crime. They're not going to break the law. They got too much to lose. You can put drugs in front of them. You put drugs, all that kind of, they're going to walk away from it. They got too much to lose now. It's the kids who don't have the opportunity that my students have that will grab that pistol or grab that Uzi or take the drugs and go try to sell them and make money. That student makes $237,000. He's working over in Afghanistan. He don't even pay no taxes. I got a kid that just bought a $700,000 house by himself, down payment and paid the mortgage all by himself. He's not even 30 years old. My top student makes $300,000 a year. These are real stories. These are the same kids in the same neighborhood, the ones that we see on TV and on the internet doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, but you and the Hope Project believed in them, and you showed them how they can turn their lives around and be, self-sufficient. And so today they don't have to gang bang or any of that stuff, because thanks to the Hope Project, they are able to take care of themselves and a lot of take care of their families.
I was going to say, we like to say when a Hope Project student does well, other people benefit from that. These students aren't the only ones eating off of that $75,000 a year salary or that $100,000 job. They got a little brother. They either had a little raggedy shoes when school starts or still wearing uniforms from 2 years ago. They get good Christmases now. There's other people benefiting when a student lands a $60,000 job. Mom gets some pressure off of her. Rob can say, Mom, don't worry about Tony's school clothes. I'm taking him school shopping. I got him.
Yeah.
You already got two jobs. They still scraping money together to get some uniforms. To be able to have an older brother, an older sister say that, Mom, I got him this year. That's an unbelievable feeling. And that's what happens a lot of times. I always tell my I was going to say that when I get a new class, I have these long talks with them. They call them bell talks. They know the graduates tell the new students, just be prepared because he's going to be doing some talk. Because my job is to pour into them because I ain't going to have them forever. I got to plant enough seeds in them so when they go and stand in front of that white man with gray hair, and they could say, based on my training, my experience, and my certification, I think I'm highly qualified for the opportunity. It takes a lot of time, effort, and dedication to pour into a kid who rarely even sees white people unless they're dealing with the justice system to be able to stand in front of them with confidence and talk like that. It ain't as easy as we make it look. Let me share something with you and your audience, Melinda, because I think this is a good example of how unique we are. And I want people to walk away celebrating Hope Project. I hope they begin to talk more about it and share what I'm talking about today. Picture this for a second. Young man in Berry Farms up in Woodland. Went to Anacostia Blue, 21 years old, raised by a single mother, got a little brother, a little sister. His whole life, he has not been able to be a professional, not be courteous, not be kind, because you can't live in neighborhoods like that and be that way because you look upon it being soft and weak and it could get you killed. You enrolled in Hope Project. I got 6 months total. I got 3 months of training and 3 months on an internship to get you ready for an entry-level job, maybe at the Pentagon or IRS building or Census Bureau or the World Bank or wherever. I got 6 months total, but really only 3 months because the other 3 months they're on an internship. Meanwhile, there's a kid out in Upper Marlboro Bowie, still a black kid. He has a mother that is a principal at a high school. His father is a white shirt police officer. They got almost $300,000 household income. That boy ain't never had his cell phone turned on. He gets a check written to Morehouse for his all 4 years. That's a $200,000 education. He had 4 years to prepare for an entry-level job. He got a degree in information systems. He ain't never had his phone. When he become a junior in college, he had a car, a nice car. They got legitimate tags and insurance. Meanwhile, the young man from Woodland or Burry Farm ain't never had legitimate tags. Insurance always jacked up. And phone probably stays off as much as it stays on. I got 3 months of training with them and 3 months on an internship. When that kid walks out of Morehouse, he'd have had all these resources. He'd have been exposed to all this stuff. He's looking for an entry-level IT job with a degree from Morehouse. My kid graduated from a little neighborhood training program in that same job. On paper, that is not a fair fight at all. That boy got a $200,000 education, had 4 years to prepare. My student went through my little neighborhood training program that lasts 3 months, and they pay us pennies in comparison to the amount of money that kid invested in his education at Morehouse. And then my student can walk into that interview and beat kids out like that every single day. I done seen it happen. What we do is a goddamn miracle. We have figured out a way to transform the lives of young people with very little resources. We are not supposed to be able to do this. That's why when I speak and talk to people like I'm talking to you now, when I go around the country and I do talk at conferences, I'm comfortable telling people that when I first start talking, please pay attention and take notes, because what you're about to hear, without me even knowing you personally, you've never heard this before because it has never been done before. There's nobody in this country that can talk the way I'm talking right now because ain't nobody ever done this. And we in Washington, D.C., and to this day, we are still enough resources to train 50 and 60 people. Yes.
That's a blessing. I foresee the whole project expanding to other cities. What about you? Have you ever considered that? I mean, I'm talking about like ATL, Chicago, you know what I mean? Like where the crime rates are really heavy.
I would love to get calls, but honestly, it would take a lot for me to just up and leave because I think that my work isn't done here. I don't think I'm ready to go and pour that kind of time and dedication into another city right now. But the level of frustration I have with the city is causing me to expedite me becoming an accredited school. This is kind of breaking news, and most people don't know this. But I acquired a company back in January. The sole reason for acquiring a company is to be able to move towards accreditation. When you are a career school like we are now through this acquisition, that means that I can apply to become an accredited school, which means I can then take FAFSA money, VA benefits, and kids can get a Pell Grant to go to our school. So then we're no longer under the thumb or control over funding by a city or a state to help kids. They can get a Pell Grant and maybe add $3,000 or $4,000 more. They can just come on their own. I can offer even more advanced training. So by the time they leave, they're even more competitive against that kid from Morehouse. I haven't really talked about that, but because of the frustration I have with the lack of support from the city, they put me in a position to make a move like this. I'll still stay local, but I have kicked around the idea after a couple of years about going to some of the major cities like Atlanta, Philadelphia, Richmond.
Yes. I was thinking like to share the group, to share the blueprint. You know what I mean?
I've gone around the country, and Goodwill is one of my clients. I've had 25 Goodwill cities from all over the country come to D.C. for me to do some workshops with the people who run their job training. This is a couple of years back. If you folks that follow me on social media, you probably remember it. They had folks come from all over the country just to meet me for 2 whole days. They left inspired, but the amount of dedication, Melinda, like I keep saying, what we are doing, it ain't nowhere near as easy as it looks. You got to care a whole lot to be a Raymond Bell and pull off building an empire where you get calls from recruiters every day looking for your talent. You can't have money, because they got money. Goodwill can apply for any grant and will probably win it just because they're Goodwill, but they haven't been able to produce the same level of outcomes that we have because you got to be a very unique. First of all, you got to be smart enough, and you got to care enough. And then what helps me is from the community. I'm from the neighborhood. So we got incredible credibility in the city when it comes to young people because we work the same way they did. So you put all those things in a pot and stir it up, you come up with a whole project. That's not a normal scenario. A lot of the folks who are talented enough to do what I'm doing, they don't want to be bothered with the community kids. They knuckleheads. They don't want to mess with them. Or the ones who care enough, like I do, they ain't talented enough to make a difference. They do their best. They try. They coach people. They do stuff. But they're not able to, from the neighborhoods that we all grew up in, and then 3 to 6 months later, they're working at Khaki. That takes a lot of time. We ain't talking about once or twice. We're talking about 2,000 times.
Right, exactly. And the commitment level, that's the key. The commitment, you have to be committed, you know, to changing the life.
For 11 years, I haven't changed my story or my song. I've been singing the same song. Anybody that know me, I've been talking about Hope Project and IT Help Desk Training since 2009 when I started. I have not changed. And that consistency has helped us build the momentum. The best example I can give you about the how people see us, it would take any job training organization in the city, even UDC, as big as they are, it would take them 4 or 5 like information sessions to get 250 people in attendance. Online recruitment, online information session, not too long after the pandemic hit, because I wanted to update people on what we were planning to do and a lot of stuff we had to come down the pipeline. Well, then it was 717 people on that call. I only advertised for a couple of days. 717 people on that call.
Wow.
That wanted to be in the next upcoming class. Nope, no other organization in the city could do that.
Right.
Nope, nobody.
Right.
That says a lot about what we've built. And they're coming not to get no certification. They're coming because we're known to help people get out of poverty. That's what this is about.
Right.
It ain't about no certification. It ain't about a job. I got kids who are advocates for being a triple threat. A triple threat in Hope Project means you make at least $75,000 a year. You got at least $7,500 in the bank. And you have a credit score of at least 750. I got students who can say that. They can say, Bill, I'm a triple threat.
I love it.
That is unbelievable. You got people who can say that. And
that's amazing.
I'm a winner for one.
That's
and
amazing.
Kids and everybody else, the kids I'm talking about, these triple threats, these ones that make the six figures, these are kids that everybody else said, you'll never make it. These are ones that were told that because they was a C student at Anacostia.
Mm-hmm.
Or they dropped out of high school, went back and got a GED. These are ones that were told, you'll never make it out here. You don't have no college, you're never going to make it. Or you in Anacostia, you know, or you from Woodland, you're never going to make it.
You named it the right thing, the Hope Project, because you are definitely giving them something that they never had, especially to move out of the projects. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be able to move their families out of public housing. You know, that just means everything. You know, that's so
important. Over 20 students. I got to check. It might be more than that. It might be about 40 that have bought houses. I'm talking about $500,000. I got students right over there on 8th Street. She lives, her and her son, they live right on 8th Street, them condos, right over top of like the giant, right down there, like about 4th and 8th, like where it's almost about to go across the Union State. We got kids that live in our young people not supposed to live over there. They're not supposed to have no condo, no two-bedroom condo on no 8th Street.
Mm-hmm.
You graduated from Anacostia? With your 8th and 9th grade reading and math scores, because we test all of our students on the COSAS test. You're not supposed to be reading on 8th and 9th grade and be making no $80,000 living over there on 4th and 8th in one of them two-bedroom condos. You're not supposed to be able to do that.
Wow, that's amazing.
We try to come off every day. Hope
that's
stands
amazing.
For helping other people excel. Because a lot of people just think that hope is just the name. It actually has, the acronyms mean something. Helping other people excel. And that's important to note, because what we're saying is this is not about any one person. This is about everybody. Our motto is everybody going to make it. We ain't leaving nobody behind. The goal is if you look out for somebody else going to automatically look out for you. So that's what it means, helping other people.
Absolutely.
Excel.
I never knew that. Thanks for sharing that. I never knew that. So the president of the help desk, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I get a little excited sometimes talking about these kids because I've seen them when
the
they didn't have much.
I hear the passion. Yeah, I hear your passion, and that's why it's so successful. The president of the Help Desk Institute has referred to the HOPE Project as one of the best IT career training programs in the country. Are you surprised by this and by the success of the HOPE Project?
I knew what our young people could do. I knew what they were capable of doing. But even me, I didn't think I'd be pinching myself sometimes because I tell myself, Ray, if I wasn't you, and I was posting on social media about all success, I'm not sure I would believe it. I'm not sure if I would believe it. So I am somewhat surprised of the number. I know I can help some kids, but the number of kids and then where they come from, their background, because a lot of kids that got background challenges, they get one or two doors slammed in their face, they shut down. They're not going to go to the third door or the fourth door. I got a student right now, a young girl, she got a felony for simply going in the bag on gas station and kicking a man that her boyfriend was beating up because he jumped in front of him in line. They got the cameras all in there. She got arrested too. She never did a day in jail, but she got a felony. It took her almost 2 years to get her first job. Now she works at my old building at Ag Culture, and she works at, I can't think of the name of the other company. So her two jobs combined, $100,000. This girl was living like pillar to post while she was in the classroom. And most kids would gave up after a couple of months of not getting a job when everybody else in your classroom who ain't never been in trouble with the law got their job, got their secret clearance, and they got them apartment, little Camaro or Dodge Charger car, they doing good. Took almost 2 years, not because she wasn't talented enough. She got plenty of offers, but they kept turning her away when they ran the background. A lot of kids were giving up. She didn't. Mm-hmm. Not only did she not give up, and she will tell you, she was on this call, it was because of the community that we built and the resources that we try to put in front of her and people like her and try to inspire and encourage them not to give up. Thank God she didn't, because she's doing really, really good now. Really good. Very proud of her. Again, she's one of those kids that people probably say, oh, you ain't never going to. It's never going to get on. Our model is everybody going to make it. I'm telling our students, no more second place. We ain't coming in second no more. That has been the motto of our community, the black community. We just coming close is good enough. I'm telling my students, oh, no way. We ain't coming in second no more. No more second place. We coming in first. And what that means is they're going to work hard. They're going to be prepared. Because the shot is going to come. You got to make sure you're ready when you get your chance. So when the shot comes, you take full advantage because you've been prepared for the opportunity the whole time. So no more second place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. So who coined the whole project, the Harvard of the Hood?
Funny story. This a student, she came in, and in order to be a whole project, you got to come in and interview. And when you come in, we would have sent you a video. We would have sent you a white paper for you to read, and you got to answer some questions before we even interview you. So she was sitting there waiting to be interviewed, and I said, you okay? She said, no. She was tapping her feet, sweating. I said, what's wrong? She said, I feel like I'm in court. I'm nervous, Mr. Bell. I said, well, good. I'm glad you're nervous. That means you care. And then when she got finished her interview, she was walking out the door. She turned around and said, Mr. Bell, you should name this place the Harvard of the Hood. I said, why should I? I said, what makes you say that? She said, because. Just like Harvard, it's hard to get up in this joint. And just like Harvard, all the people that graduate from here are doing good. I said, you know what? You're right. That's our new nickname. That's how I came up with it. I can't remember your lady's name. It was a long time ago.
Wow. But, I mean, it resonates. It definitely resonates. I mean, the results are everything. I'm just so proud of everything that you have done to build this phenomenal program, and it's changing lives. I feel like I saw it from the beginning, in the beginning stages, when it was just a vision, and to see what over 10 years later, wow, this is just amazing.
Thank you.
So, do you have any upcoming events or HOPE Project events that you would like to share with the listeners?
So Well, the beginning of the fiscal year starts October 1st. So we have a lot that's coming down the pike. So if folks are not following me on social media, please do so, because if you follow me, you already know I'm always sharing about the latest and greatest within the organization. That would be my preference, if they would just follow me on Facebook and Instagram. It's Ray Bell JR, is my hashtag on Twitter and all the other stuff. That would be first. And then go to Hope Project and join our mailing list. Excuse me, that's hopeprojectdc.org, hopeprojectdc.org. Yeah, but we don't have anything happening like in the next week or two, but toward the end of October, we'll start recruiting for our upcoming classes. And as I mentioned, we recently acquired another training provider, and that training, that new company also offers CDL training, Class A and Class B, and unarmed security guard training. And I'm thinking about maybe adding a paralegal program as another offering, because not everybody wants to do IT, but anything I do, it's going to have to lead to a livable wage. A livable wage for me is within 2 years, the person can be making $60,000 if they do everything they're supposed to do. So that's how it works in IT. The students are serious, and they come and do everything we ask them to do. Within 2 years, they're making $60,000 more. And we've had more than 10 people get to $100,000 in less than 4 years. So
wow.
I'm looking for companies where they can make that kind of money and have that kind of household income. So I like the armed security guard training, because with a cleared security officer job, you can get you $65,000-$70,000. If you are Class A or Class B driver with 2 years of experience, there's no reason why you shouldn't be making $55,000 a year or more. My goal is for a lot of them to just become entrepreneurs and then get their own dump truck or some type of other type of vehicle, and they just go out their own contracts or subcontracts and they work for themselves.
Yeah.
I'm about building.
Yeah.
It's not even about helping people get a job.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. It's not just a job. It's not just a job. You're giving careers, which is so phenomenal. I mean, it's just so amazing that the Hope Project, you know, that from the vision that you had and what you have accomplished through patience and building and commitment these last 10 years is, you know, it's just amazing. One more thing, I wanted to say, I just commend you for all you've done and how committed you are to the young people. So what's next? Let's just say, for instance, you mentioned that you have classes starting in October, right? What if a listener is interested in joining that class? They could just go to your website or sign up for it. I mean, they have to be interviewed and stuff, right?
Yeah, see, that's a big success. You know, it's the funny thing. There was only the first information session, there was only four people there. It was at Bury Farms in 2009. Four people came. And I was stupid enough to do it on a Friday, the same day they're having a basketball tournament outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I told the folks who were helping me that the good sign is that the four people that came, they stayed. And they were interested.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since then, four people to 25, 25 to 75, and now anytime we do anything, it's over 100. So in order to get into the class, you're going to definitely have to compete against at least 200 other people to get one of those 25 slots. And that's how it's supposed to be. Because this is too good an opportunity just to hand to people without them putting forth some effort, some time, and some dedication. Because I have to protect what other students have already built. So the students like Mercedes and Jason and Sonia and Anu and Thaddeus and on and on and on. All these students that I'm mentioning, others, they built this. That's why the recruiters call me all the time looking for more people, and the government contractors and people donating stuff to us. It's because of what those students have built. So I got to make sure I'm protecting what they worked so hard to build, so when somebody wants to be in the class, they want to put some work in, because other kids have put work in. And not just here. You can be, as long as you're over 18, you can be in Hope Project. I want to stress that, because I don't want people to think there's a cutoff age. There is no cutoff age. Our oldest student when they enrolled was 63 years old, and she got a job working in IT just like everybody else.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Raggett, I just want to say thank you so much for all you've done, the difference you're making in the community. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I wish we had more time so that we could get this information out there. You continue to be committed. I'm excited about what's going to happen in the future. I'm going to claim that the Hope Project is going to be in all of the major cities once it's all said and done. So thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you for having me. God bless you. Have a good evening.
Okay. Well, thanks. You too.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Hope is real.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Raymond Bell is not talking the talk. He is walking the walk. He's changed the lives of many young people, providing them with life-changing careers. I believe every major city, like I just said, needs to have the Hope Project to change the lives of the young people in their community. Next week's guest will be Sister Shonda Smith, the CEO and founder of Murder Mistaken. She's a mother who experienced gun violence in a way that no mother should ever have to. If you have a story of injustice you would like to share or would like to recommend a topic for discussion on a future show, please DM me. I am author Melinda Robertson across all social media platforms. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and we will be back at it next Tuesday from 8 to 9. Stay safe and be blessed. Peace.
Y'all ready to ride? You the latest and the greatest of your lineage. Makeup and clothes, ain't you? That's what your image is. Here's what it really is. Perception is direction. You receive what you perceive. What you give is what you get in. This lesson is the weapon that I already gave you. Fear not. Draw your gun, your God, universe, nature. Game changer. Your higher self is calling you. The vehicle for change has arrived. What you want to do?
I want to see the rest. I want to see the
traffic stop, we could be shot down, and in the courts it's just us, justice is not found, roadblocks, checkpoints, and a lockdown, if you ain't strong, it won't be long before you knocked down, but there's another way, turn off what these others say, you the most important thing you have to think about today, so here's what I'ma say, listen while I'm rapping it, your mind, that's a magnet, what you think you'll attract it, so ask it, to manifest the things that you really like, friends that you really like, not the hateful silly type. Don't be deceived by greed. Here's what it's really like. Their body drives a car, but their mind rides a mini bike. You know the person that you be and ain't all of you. The vehicle for change has arrived. What you want to do?
I want to take a ride. I want to feel the vibe. I'm feeling good inside.
Let's ride.
I want to